From Quality Radio Productions, it's another edition of the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell. This time, we have two programs from the year 1954. First, from November 14th of that year on NBC, an episode of Easy Money, a series exposing the various tricks of gamblers, racketeers, and con artists, starring Larry Haynes as racket detective Mike Trent. This broadcast is entitled Galloping Ivories.
National Broadcasting Company presents another program in a new series exposing the inside secrets of gamblers, racketeers, and con men. It's called Easy Money.
Easy Money? There's no such thing as easy money.
Mike Trent, the ex-magician turned rackets detective, is an expert on easy money schemes, gyps, frauds, and swindles. Tonight, he blows the lid off of one of the vicious gambling rackets that's being worked in this country year after year. This one's called Galloping Ivories, and here's Mike Trent to tell you about it.
Thank you, Bill McCord. Professional gamblers are so used to trimming their victims that sometimes they get impatient. They see a chance for a fast cleanup, and they jump at it, especially if they feel they've got a soft touch for their prey. My story tonight is about a big operator who got mixed up with some kids and came mighty close to wrecking their lives. It opens in the back room of one of the suburban gambling clubs where the boss's right-hand man had just brought in his report of the night's receipts.
It's a nice night, Soapy. That's the biggest take we've had in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Only look, Gunner. Giving this kid Junior Elwin Sky high credit, that don't seem so sharp.
No? How much did he lose tonight?
$820. All we got is this little piece of paper.
$820, eh? That makes $7,160 altogether.
Yeah.
I'll take all that kind of paper I can get.
But, Gunner, how are you going to collect? His old man said the last time he settled up, he wasn't paying any more crap game debts for Junior.
I know.
Old man Elwin ain't the kind of guy who'll stand for muscle.
Don't worry. I'm not planning to put any heat on Junior's daddy.
I don't get it.
That's fine, Soapy. If you don't get it, Junior won't either. You and young Ewan are about on a par on brains.
Yeah, look, boss, you don't need to get nasty.
Don't I? Listen, Soapy, I'd like to run that Junior Elwin account up to about $15,000.
You mean fast?
Fast. Give the kid a break. Let him double up. Get him to shoot the works trying to get even.
You're going to let him get even?
Now, what do you think? The minute the bill gets up to 15 grand, tell the kid I want to see him.
Well, if you say so.
I do say so, and don't scare him. Be nice to him.
I should be nice to a dumb phony who owes us all that dough.
All what dough? I'm playing for big stakes, Soapy. $15,000 is just my first roll.
Okay, Gunner, you're going to roll like that. Be sure you're throwing your own dice.
Soapy, when I gamble, I never take chances. Mr. Elwin, I haven't seen you for a long time, have a chair, huh?
Thanks. Your dice man said that you wanted to see me, Gunner. If it's about money,
Money? What's that? Your credit's always good for a few $100 in my gambling club, Junior.
Thanks.
I know your father gives you a nice allowance, and I know you're the kind of fellow who thinks a gambling debt is important. You're a gentleman.
Thanks again.
A few $100 doesn't mean any more to you than it does to me. If you don't have it, I know you will get it.
Well, I've been having a lousy run of luck lately, Gunner. But it's bound to change sooner or later. I never worry much about gambling losses.
Well, that's one of the things I like about you, Junior. Well, I bet you could run up a bill of $1,500 without batting an eyelash.
Yeah, sure.
You're a natural gambler. The smart kind of a gambler. Why, I haven't even checked on your account.
Fine.
By the way, Junior, how does your account stand?
Well, I've been having rotten luck, Gunner.
Well, that's what you told me. Well, how rotten?
I owe you $15,000.
That's an awful lot of money, Junior. I'm a little surprised.
I'll pay off. Don't you worry.
I never worry about anybody paying off. Let's face facts. Where will you get $15,000?
Why, I'll get it.
Where?
Well, I'll borrow it.
You couldn't borrow 15 bucks.
Well, it'll take a few days, of course.
Pucker up your lips more when you whistle in the dark, kid. If I give you 6 months, you couldn't raise the money anyway, short of killing your old man. You've been playing me for a sap, and I'm getting sore.
You said I could have all the credit I wanted. You let me
run up... Oh, shut up. If there's anything I hate, it's a whiny loser.
I'm not whining,
You
but...
kept right on doubling up until you found yourself in a spot.
I'm not
you...
in a spot. I...
Oh, no? Well, guess again, Junior. You're in a real spot.
What do you mean?
I run this gambling club to make money. Maybe that never occurred to you. If I let one loser welch on me, get by without paying, I quit making money.
I said I'd pay.
I have a couple of pretty fair ways to collect, kid. Collect or else.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, don't lay any odds on that one, kid. When you run a place like mine, you'd be surprised what you dare.
What do you want me to do?
Well, now you're talking sense.
Well?
You run around with a pretty speedy bunch of kids, huh?
You want me to steer some of my friends to your club?
I wouldn't have them cluttering up the place. But I'd like to meet a few of them outside.
What do you mean?
From what I read in the papers, you're quite a party boy.
Well?
Well, I like parties, too. I'd like to be invited to a few parties of yours.
I don't get it.
You and I are going to be partners, Junior.
Partners?
We're going to pal around together. You introduce me as a friend who's just come to town. We start a few little $5 crap games.
I still don't get the idea. You can't make up $15,000 in a $5 game.
Did you ever see a $5 crap game stay in that class? You started playing here with dollar chips and you owe me 15 grand. Get me the suckers, I'll get you 15,000 back and a lot more besides.
Well, but I couldn't do that to my friends.
Oh, no? I'll bet you could, Junior. And what's more, I bet you will. I'll bet you 2-1. Want to take me?
No, I guess not. It looks like they're your dice.
So Gunnar Gorman was the life of your party, huh?
That's the funny part of it, Mr. Trent. He was. Everybody liked him. And he didn't even suggest the crap game.
I suppose you did.
Well, yes, when he gave me the high sign.
And I'll bet Gunnar Gorman was lucky, wasn't he?
Well, not at first.
Oh, no. Not while you were shooting for $5 a roll, I suppose not.
The game couldn't have been crooked, Mr. Trent. They were my dice. But Gorman knows something about the game I don't know.
How much did he win?
$5,000. He said it cut my loss to $12,500 because we're partners and I get credit for
$2,500. Mm-hmm. He's giving your friends a chance to get their money back, of course.
Oh, yes. He put on a good act. Like he was embarrassed at taking their money.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a very clever operator.
He's taken a hotel room, and the rest of the crowd think he's just in town for a few days. He's throwing a party at the hotel tonight to give them a chance to get even.
Well, just where does this concern me?
Well, I may be a heel. Everybody seems to think so, even Gorman. At least I've been a prize sap. But I'm darned if I'll double-cross my friends.
You've already done that, haven't you?
Well, I was scared, I guess. And there didn't seem to be anything else to do. Until I saw Gunnar Gorman take their money. Because they trusted me.
Well, what do you expect me to do about it?
Well, I may be dumb, but I don't think Gorman's on the level. If he is, I'll go to Dad and take my medicine, whatever it is. But if he isn't playing fair, I'd like to catch him.
Mm. Well, from what you've told me about him, Gorman will be rough. If he finds that you're double-crossing him as well as everybody else.
I guess I had that coming to me, all right.
Oh, well, it's nothing to what you'll have coming if Gorman discovers you're trying to trap him.
I thought it was your business to catch crooked gamblers, racketeers.
Oh, it is, it is. But there's one type of gambler I dislike almost as much as the crooks, and you're that type.
Well, now, Mr. Trent, after all, you
well,
don't
need... Well, it's true. People who get a big thrill out of hobnobbing with dirty, cheating criminals until their charming friends take them, and then come crying for help.
But I'm not crying for myself. I can't let him rob my friends on my say-so.
I don't even know that the man's a crook. He wouldn't need to be, you know.
To win so surely and certainly?
Oh, Gorman knows the dice odds backward and forward. He knows his chances on every roll of the dice. He could play percentages and win. But sooner or later, in the most honest game in the world, he'd clean them out because dice is his business and he knows his business.
But $5,000 in one little
Look,
game...
Look, there's no rougher, tougher, faster form of gambling ever been invented. One flop of the dice, he can make more money than a whole evening of poker. $5,000 would make me think Gorman was holding back.
One of my best friends, Marge Terrence, lost $1,500 of it. That makes me feel worse than anything else. She... Well, I'm sort of crazy about
her. Wait a minute. You mean there were girls in this dice game? And will be in the next one?
Yes, Mr. Trent. That's why I'd appreciate your help.
Well, I won't take the case to help you or your friends. You all need a good spanking when you need help.
But you will take the case?
Yeah, on one condition.
What's that?
It's understood I'm doing it strictly to put Gorman in his place.
Swell.
There's nothing swell about it. Do you have a revolver?
Gosh, no, I'd be scared to death of one.
Well, then you're going to be scared because you'll be carrying one.
But why?
You might need it. You've crossed up your dad and he's taken it. You've crossed up your friends, they don't know it. They wouldn't do much about it if they did, probably. But if Gunnar Gorman ever finds you're double-crossing him...
You think he'd get tough?
Well, I think there's undoubtedly a very good reason for his nickname being Gunnar.
You're feeling so big about winning $5,000 at a party. The joint does better than that most any night.
Well, you're going to meet some nice people at the party, Soapy.
Me? Hey, listen, Gunner.
Why, hadn't I told you, Soapy? You're going to be my butler this evening.
Me carting trays of sandwiches around? Look, boss, I stood for a lot, but...
Well, it's a chance to see the elite at play, Soapy.
I suppose you want me to be loaded down with fake dice like an old copy of the Police Gazette.
Oh, don't be naive, Soapy.
Don't be... Huh?
We won't use odd dice.
Are you kidding?
They'll bring their own dice. These are respectable people, Soapy.
I never see the guy so respectable. I trust his dice. You gotta be sure of winning, ain't you?
I'll win. Don't you worry your little brain about that.
You ain't no dice mechanic.
I don't have to be. Not with a thick pile rug on the floor of our hotel suite. And with a good thick pad beneath it.
Huh? Listen, Gunny, you ain't give him the old blanket roll.
No? Why not?
You couldn't get away with it. A crapshooter in the country doesn't know about the soft roll.
I'm not dealing with crapshooters, Soapy. I'm playing with wealthy no-goods who want a thrill. I have so much money that the only kind they'll show any interest in is easy money. I'll be disappointed if I don't win $50,000 tonight. And they'll come back and back. This is just a start.
Yeah, but you'll have to give Junior Elwin half the profits, won't you?
Oh, you need a head cleaning, Soapy. After tonight, my partnership with Junior is dissolved.
Well, can you do that? He might squawk.
He wouldn't dare. If he lets these saps know anything, they'll find out he was working with me, helping play them for suckers. You think he'd do that?
Who'd be coming around here with the sun still out?
We'll get the door, find out. Oh, hello, Junior.
Hi, Gunner. I thought I'd better warn you. There may be trouble tonight.
Oh, yeah? Listen, bright boy, if there's any trouble, you know who'll wind up with it, don't you?
Yeah. That's why I thought I should tell you.
All right, what's up?
You remember Marge Terrence, the girl who lost so much money?
How could I forget her?
Well, her brother found out about it, and he's kind of a hothead.
You don't say. Well, what about her brother?
Well, he blames me for letting Marge lose so much money, and he threatened me.
Threatened you? How?
He said unless I brought him to your party tonight, he'd beat me up. He wants a chance to win that money back for Marge.
Man, just when you get to thinking Christmas is 5 or 6 weeks away, here comes Santa Claus.
Don't be too sure. Tim Terrence has a reputation for being awfully lucky.
Oh, I like him lucky.
The rest of the crowd's going to the theater, just as they'd planned, and then dropping in here afterwards. But Marge's brother, Tim's his name, he wanted to come up here earlier with Marge and me.
Just can't wait, huh?
Mr. Gorman, I know you think you're pretty hot with the dice, but... I'm warning you. Tim Terrence is plenty lucky.
Well, maybe his luck's due for a change. Bring him around. The earlier the better.
Well, don't say I didn't warn you.
I won't, Junior. I won't say a thing. Except thanks.
Oh, Mr. Gorman, I think your butler or valet or whatever he is a character. Where in the world did you ever find him?
I picked him up in a rough and rugged gambling joint, Miss Terrence.
He's a real authentic type, and such a wonderful name. Soapy.
All right, cut it out, Marge. I haven't met Mr. Gorman yet.
Oh, pardon me. This is Marge's brother, Gunner, Tim Terrence.
How do you do? You folks are a little early.
Yeah. Yeah, Marge told me how you took her money last night.
Well, Gorman. She didn't have very good luck.
You sure it was luck?
Timmy, be nice now.
I don't like cracks like that, Terrence.
Well, I don't like having my sister Marge lose $1,500 either.
Oh, Tim, be yourself. I can afford it.
She doesn't know a thing about the game. Shooting craps with her is like taking pennies out of a baby's piggy bank.
Look, Terrence, I didn't ask her into the game. The game wasn't even my idea. She lost. The money doesn't mean anything to me. I'm giving her every chance in the world to get it back. You better be careful about your insinuations.
Well, you sound very noble, Mr. Gorman. Yeah, you're a great guy, all right. Taking money away from a girl who doesn't even know what the game is all about.
Listen, boss, you want me to give this bird the bum's rush?
Just stay out of this, Soapy. Suppose you're quite a crap shooter yourself, Mr. Terrence.
You bet I am.
Oh, he's simply wonderful. He's won money from real professionals.
You don't say.
He talks to the dice. He says the craziest things about fever and Decatur and new shoes and... Go ahead, Timmy. Tell them some of the things.
I think I've heard them, lady.
You're a real hot shot crapshooter,
Hot enough to cool you off. And you need to be taught a lesson.
You think you could do it, huh?
You bet I can.
I'd just as soon take your money as your sister's.
I'll just bet you would.
Well, it looks to me like there's only one way to settle this.
Oh, yeah?
Sure, with the dice. You and Tim.
But I want to play, too.
Now, you stay out of this, Marge. I'm going to give Gorman a lesson he needs.
I'm not in the habit of carrying dice around with me.
Just happens I got some in my pocket, boss. Here.
I'll just take a look at those, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead. Look them over all you like. You think I'm a crook, huh?
I'm reserving my opinion.
Give them the sinker test if you want to. Go ahead.
The sinker test?
Isn't the terminology of this game fascinating? I love it. What does it mean?
The sinker test means, lady, that you drop the dice in a tall glass of water and let them sink to the bottom.
I can't imagine why anybody would drop dice into a glass of water.
On a counter, you can tell that way if the dice is loaded. If the same points come up every time you drop them, well, they are. They're loaded.
Mm-hmm. Well, you seem to be all right.
Of course they're all right.
Oh, we'll have to clear all this stuff off the table before we can shoot.
Oh, well, that's too much trouble. Get down on the floor, on the rug. It's more fun that way.
On the rug?
Well, yeah, sure.
Okay. I'll bet $10.
Huh? $10? I thought you were such a red-hot sport.
Well, before you get red-hot, Gorman, you have to get warmed up a little, you know. $10.
Okay, big shot, you're covered. Go ahead, roll them out. I won't even bother looking for that kind of money.
Oh, Tim, a 12. The highest point you can make. That ought to be worth something.
Lady, that's boxcars. You get many of them, you ain't going to be traveling in style.
I'll shoot another 10, Gorman.
You're covered, big shot.
6 deuce.
Ada from Decatur, huh? All right, come on. Dice, show the folks you know your arithmetic. Let's make the point with a 5-3. Shake, rattle, roll.
2 and 2 is 4. That's half of what you're after.
Oh, we'll get the rest of it this time, Marge. Wham! And 6 deuce right back. Okay, I'll let the 20 ride.
6-2. But, Timmy, you said you'd make the 8 with a 5-3. Does it count this way?
I thought you wanted to get your sister's 1500 back. We've been going half an hour, and I'm 70 bucks ahead. This way we'll shoot all night, and nobody will get anywhere.
Well, the dice haven't gotten hot for me yet, I can tell.
Yeah, well, I'm tired of this penny-ante stuff. Maybe your sister's ready to shoot for some real money.
Why, sure.
You keep out of this, Marge.
You're not going to win her money back for her this way. Your sister makes you look like a piker.
All right. All right, if you feel that way about it, Gorman, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll shoot the whole 1500 she lost all in one roll.
Oh, Timmy, that's a lot of money.
Put it up, big shot.
Well, suppose you cover it, too. Here's mine, eh?
I've got it covered, don't worry. Go ahead, shoot.
Oh, Tim, how wonderful. A 7. That wins.
Yeah, something tells me...
Shut up, Soapy.
Well, I guess that was all I needed. Now I'm getting hot. I'll let the 3,000 ride. Well?
You're covered.
But, boss...
Will you stay out of this? It's 2,500, 3,000. Go ahead, roll them out.
Yeah, you bet. All right, be good to Papa Dice for 3,000 nice big dollars. Be alert, Dice. Come on, you. Sit.
Oh, too bad. A 5.
Fever. Get hot, Dice. Let's 5 right back. A bank account waiting for money. Little old easy 5. Come on, Dice.
8.
5, deuce. 5 for Papa. Just one little 5 is all I ask.
6, that's close.
Oh, I'll get closer than that. Come on, now, be good, Dice. Whim.
Oh, there it is.
And up jumps a 5, so I let the 6,000 ride.
You're covered, bright boy.
But boss, can't you see?
Will you shut up? You're covered, Terrence. Shoot.
Okay, Dice, let's have an 11 this time to break the monotony. Ride high, wide, and handsome on a wave of prosperity, Dice. When? Oh, I'm sorry, Marge. I said I'd make an 11, and it's a 7.
But that wins, Tim.
Boss, you ought to call this guy.
Will you keep your mouth shut?
You mean he's doing something crooked? I've been watching, and I don't see anything.
You wouldn't.
Is somebody insinuating I'm crooked?
I haven't said a thing, bright boy. You're letting the 12,000 ride?
Sure, if you can cover it.
I can cover a lot more than that, sonny. Get the leather bag out of the bedroom, Soapy.
Boss, this is your funeral,
but... Keep still, Soapy. Will you get the bag?
Okay, boss.
Timmy, I think this is perfectly marvelous. And it's so honest, too.
What?
He told you how good he was before he started taking your money.
Here you are, boss.
Right. All right, there you are, bright boy. If you think I'm going to run short of money, look it over.
What? There's a fortune in that bag.
Yeah, anybody who's good enough to take it away from me can have it. If they take it honest.
Is that a crack?
Oh, no, I'm not saying a thing. Your 12,000's covered. Go ahead, roll them out.
Nothing will give me more pleasure, Mr. Gorman. What would you like?
What do you mean, what would I like?
A point or a natural?
Oh, don't be so smart. Just go ahead and roll.
All right, if that's the way you feel about it, okay.
Tim, aren't you forgetting something?
What?
You aren't talking to the dice.
Oh, well, I don't have to, Marge. With $24,000 on the line, I don't want to disturb the dice. I'll just roll them out like this, you see?
You win. A 4 and a 3.
A beautiful 4 and 3. Prettiest little dice faces I ever saw in my life. Just look at their eyes. All 7 of them.
All right, save the comedy.
Boss, you ain't got...
Will you shut up? All right, Terrence. You've had your fun.
What do you mean?
I just wanted to see how far you'd go with it.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you think I'm a sap? You've been giving those dice the old blanket roll.
What does he mean, Tim?
He knows what I mean, all right.
I've been watching him. He's been using a blanket roll every time.
I don't see what you mean.
Well, it looks like you'll have to tell them, woman.
I'll tell them, all right. On any soft surface, like a bed or a blanket or a rug of this kind, the dice roll in a straight line. If you hold them right, you see? Here. Like this.
But what difference does it make whether they roll in a straight line or not?
The difference between winning a fortune and depending on luck.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Oh, that's because you're dopes. You hold the dice side by side in your hand. On the first roll, with a 6 on one dice facing an ace on the other, you see? The two faces against each other. Well, there isn't a chance in the world of rolling a deuce or a 12. And the odds are 2 to 1 in your favor coming up with a 7.
Well, you might explain the rest of it to him, Gorman. On the off chance that you roll a point, the faces of the dice you hold against each other determine how you'll make the point. You see, the dice roll over and over, but not sideways.
So you admit you were using the blanket roll, huh?
Well, I never said I wasn't.
But, boss, why did you let him get away with it so long?
Well, I'll tell you, Soapy. Because he didn't want to expose his own racket unless he had to. He didn't want to let Junior and Marge see how they'd been losing their money.
Oh, you know all the answers, don't you?
When I lost the 1500, we rolled the dice on a rug just like this one. Smooth and soft.
And you had just as good a chance to roll them right as I did. The dice aren't crooked. You got no beef.
Should I pick up the dough, boss?
Why, no, Soapy. I'm really shocked at you. We aren't going to have any strong-arm stuff. Mr. Terrence won the money.
You mean...
He won it the same way I won it from these suckers. But we're just going to roll a few more hands, and, well, this time, I'm going to handle the dice.
Mike, that's Soapy. He has a gun.
Didn't you expect he would have?
You won't get hurt, mister, if you play along with Gunner like he wants.
You see, I wouldn't dream of hijacking you. All I want is the same chance you had. You have $24,000 on the table, and I cover it. But this time, I roll the dice. It's all fair and square.
That's certainly making armed robbery refined.
All right, give me the dice, mister.
Not sure.
And you'll have no beef when I take it. 6 and an ace facing each other, the same way you held them. Any complaints?
Oh, no. Not a complaint in the world.
For $24,000. I could roll naturals all day.
Well, aren't you even going to shake
them? Oh, why bother? You and I both know how it works. I'll just give them a nice, gentle roll.
He rolled boxcars. 12.
Hey, what's going on here?
Well, I don't know, Gorman. They're your dice. Want to shoot again?
You're losing your grip, boss.
Keep still. Just take care of that gun.
Would you like to shoot again?
Just a minute. I'm going to give these dice a few rolls here.
Well, another 12.
And another one. I ain't seen so many boxcars since I was riding the rods.
What have you done to these dice?
Well, they're your dice, Gorman. You ought to know how to handle them better than that. Maybe you're nervous.
I'll bet he isn't hot. It's just not his night.
Grab up the money, Soapy.
What?
I thought you were keeping this technically on the up and up, Gorman.
Oh, you're lucky I'm not having Soapy put a slug through you. Keep him covered, Soapy.
Don't I even get my 1500?
You're lucky to get out of here alive.
I don't believe I'd take that money, Soapy. Because the minute your fingers touch it, I shoot Gorman. I've got him covered.
Yes, Soapy. If you want to risk a lot of trouble, Soapy, go right ahead and pick up the money. You see, Junior wouldn't have to worry. He has plenty of witnesses. But you'd be in a slight jam, I imagine, if there were any fireworks.
Give it to the kid, Soapy.
That's a pretty funny bluff, Gorman. I've never seen a crooked gambler yet who'd risk gunplay.
You heard me, Soapy.
What, do you think Soapy's going to risk going to the chair to save your money?
You heard me, Soapy.
I'm sorry, boss. The guy's right.
What?
Boss, I've just resigned. Here, mister, you take the gun. I don't want it.
Thank you, Soapy. You're showing excellent judgment.
You little rat, I
ought
to...
You ought to stay in your own backyard. That's what you ought to do. Well, so long, folks. See you at the junior leagues.
You come back here, you dirty...
Gorman. You're a lady's present. No rough talk.
I'll rough talk you when I get out of here. And as for you, Elwin, you dirty double-crosser...
Look who's talking. Marge, frisk him for weapons while I'm folding and stacking this money, would you?
Oh, wonderful. Mr. Trent, you're a character. Honestly.
He's a lousy...
Tut, tut, tut. Junior, how much money do you suppose you've lost to Gorman, roughly?
About $20,000 altogether. But it was on a regular dice table.
Mm. Sure, with six ace flats.
Huh?
A dice loaded so you're bound to end up loser, even if you win a little once in a while. Percentage dice.
You know all the answers, don't you?
Yes, I think so.
He isn't carrying any guns, Mike.
Mike? You called him that once before.
Sure. Mike Trent. Maybe you've heard of him.
Oh. Yeah. I'll get you for this, Elwin, if
you're not
going
to get anybody, Gorman. You can't make a beef without exposing your own crookedness, and if I were you, I'd see that nothing happens to Junior.
What do you mean?
I mean I'm making a full report of this game to the police. From now on, they'll be watching you all the time.
You're shoving me right out of town.
That's right. Any complaints?
Look, all those boxcars I rolled, I don't see...
Oh, that. Well, you see, I had some adhero fluid in a sponge pinned inside my coat, you see?
Adhero fluid? What are you talking about?
Oh, you should keep up on new developments, Gorman. It's a fluid to load dice while a game's in progress.
What?
Yes, it's a clear plastic fluid that hardens when it comes in contact with celluloid. I gave the aces on those dice a good heavy coat of it while you were telling me you were going to take over.
I didn't see you.
Well, all I had to do was get the fluid on my fingers, Marge, and rub my fingers over the aces. The dice were so loaded that when Gorman took them up, they'd turn, even on a soft, padded surface.
You're the dirtiest crook I ever ran
across.
Oh,
no, not a dirty crook, Gorman. An honest crook. Here's your $20,000, Junior, and your $1,500, Marge. Oh, and here's another $3,500 to cover what your other friends lost, Junior.
Gee, thanks. Mm. But what do I owe you for your work, Mr. Trent?
Not a cent, Junior. Somehow or other, I seem to have done all right.
Now, here's a last word from the man who knows the rackets inside out, Mike Trent.
Thank you. Well, I hope you like tonight's show. It should help convince you that anybody can be easy money for crooked dice game operators. And remember, not even the water test is infallible for crooked dice. Any game can be rigged in 50 different ways. So the one way to be safe is to keep out of the game. This is Mike Trent signing off with the thought that you can never stay even with the game when the odds are always against you. Remember, there's no such thing as easy money.
You have just heard another in NBC's new series, Easy Money, exposing the inside tricks of the gambler's trade. Be sure to listen again next week when Mike Trent shows how it's possible for you to be gypped on what may look like a perfectly respectable raffle. It's called the Lottery Racket. Featured in tonight's cast were Larry Haynes as Mike Trent, with Wendy Drew, Peter Fernandez, Ralph Bell, and Maurice Tarplin. Script by George B. Anderson. Easy Money is produced and directed for Air Shows Incorporated by Blair Walliser. This is Bill McCord.
Join your favorite couple, Fibber McGee and Molly, tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
An episode of Easy Money from November 14th, 1954 on NBC, Galloping Ivories. You heard it here on the Upstate Radio Theater, presenting sounds from the golden age of radio. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the program, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And you can find much more info about the Radio Theater, including detailed program playlists and also streaming audio of this and previous episodes of the show, by heading over to our blog and website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. And this, incidentally, is Upstate Radio Theater Program 1519. As I said at the beginning of the show, we'll be listening to programs from 1954 this hour. So, for our second and final offering, we turn to the CBS Radio Network and an episode of the adventure anthology series Escape. This broadcast took place on March 18th, 1954. At this time, William Conrad was the narrator for every Escape broadcast, but here he is in the leading role. This episode is entitled Violent Night.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are kneeling in the church of a Caribbean village, seeking the sanctuary it might offer, while slowly walking down the aisle, carefully studying each bowed head, is the brute of a man who has come to kill you.
Listen now as Escape brings you Les Crutchfield's story, Violent Night.
Awake suddenly. Wide awake. It's a trick you learn around the back countries of the Caribbean. If you want to stay alive. I didn't move. I didn't make a sound. Just stared into the darkness and listened. And then it came again. Somebody was on the veranda. I slid off the cot. Reached for my pistol on the table and stood up. Barefooted, I moved quietly across the room and stopped by the shutters.
Senora Grady.
Who is it?
Pepita. It is Pepita.
Pepita?
I am come to warn you of terrible danger.
Are you alone?
Si.
All right, wait a second.
Quickly.
What's wrong? What's the matter?
Look. Toward the village. Toward Monte Miguel.
What? What? Fire. What's burning?
The estacion of the police. The Federalista army barrack. Other places. It is a revolution, senor.
Revolution? Who is it? Who's behind it?
Alecran.
What?
He has come out of the jungle again. 1,000 men are following him. And now more from the village. He has guns, trucks, cars, radios. He is calling himself governor of the district.
Governor? He won't last 48 hours.
Everyone say it is revolution all over the country. You must leave your plantation and go quickly.
Pepita, you think he still remembers?
Alacran will never forget. Not ever. Not before one of you is dead.
Yeah, maybe you're right. All right, thanks, Pepita. Thanks for everything. Ten minutes later, I lay hidden in a clump of bamboo by the irrigation ditch, 30 yards from my house, watching a convoy of army trucks swing in from the highway and roar up the road toward the plantation. I could have struck out then, run away, but I had to know the odds, know whether Alacran was making it personal, whether he still remembered. The truck skidded to a stop. Men with rifles piled out circled the house. Spotlights cut through the night, lit up my bungalow, probing at the shutters. But I didn't see him until he stepped into the circle of lights and called out,
"Mr. O'Grady? Mr. Barry O'Grady?"
Helicron.
"You're wasting our time, Mr. O'Grady. You may as well come out."
Educated in the States, but as cunning and cruel as the wildest Indian in the bush.
"Are you afraid of me, Mr. O'Grady? Are you afraid to come out and greet an old friend who has not forgotten you for a minute?"
Alacron, leader of a revolution, self-styled governor of the district. And he'd taken time out to lead this raid personally. Yes, Pepito was right. He hadn't forgotten. He blasted the bolt off my door with a Tommy gun, and then with a half a dozen of his men, he plunged into the house. It was time to get out. I'd wanted to know the odds, and now I knew them. I didn't have a chance. I ran for nearly 2 miles, through my coffee groves, along the banks of the ditches, through the patches of bush, before I finally played off. I was beside a narrow road leading back into the hills. I dropped down by the edge of it and tried to get my wind back. Helicron. For 2 years he'd waited. And now he was coming after me. He'd been trying to start a revolt then. I'd dragged him away from my workmen, taken his gun away from him, and beaten him to a pulp. And now he was back in control of the whole district, with a wolf pack at his heels. And then suddenly I noticed the headlights of a car coming down the road from the hills. The lights were too close together and too low to the ground for an army truck. There were ranches up in the hills, resorts. It might be a private car. It was worth a chance. I worked feverishly. The car was close now and moving fast. I gathered an armful of brush, threw it into the road, struck a match and set fire to it. And then I dropped down in the ditch and waited. All right, easy now. Don't move.
Who are you? What do you want?
I want your car.
No, it is impossible. Let me go or
I'll... Oh, no, you don't. Let go of that.
Stop it. Stop it. You're hurting me. Take your hands off.
Thanks. Well, that's a lot of gun for a lady. I will take care of that.
You fool. Do you know who I am?
No.
I am the daughter of the governor of this district.
You're what?
It's true. I am the daughter.
I'd heard he had a daughter, but who'd ever expect that fat pig to have one that looks like you?
I promise you, senor. If you go on with this, I will see that you are shot against a wall.
You're too late. Your father already has that idea. Or more likely a worse one. You know, I think you're going to come in awfully handy before morning.
If you think you
what
are
do
going...
I call you? What's your name?
Maria.
All right, Maria, let's get this straight. I got one chance in 1,000 of staying alive, and if I can help that chance, I'll do anything. You understand?
No, please.
Now, we're going to get out of here. We're going to get out together, whatever happens. Your father gets me, and I get you. All right, now get the car started. We came off the side road 2 miles from Monte Miguel, crossed the main highway and took the old road toward San Vicente. It was 110 miles to the capital, but the sports car was fast. It could outrun any army vehicle Alcatraz's men might have. And there was a good chance he hadn't yet blockaded the San Vicente highway. Well, it was a good dream. It lasted for 2 miles, and then it popped like a soap bubble.
In the road ahead, senor. Lights, trucks, men moving. What do you want me to do?
Brakes. Hit the brakes. Come on. And get this thing turned around and make it fast.
¿Quiénes?
Diga, ¿quiénes son?
Amigos.
Vengan por acá.
Hola.
Sí, sí. All right, come on. Step on it. Let's get out of here. Come on. Faster. Well, that was close. Plenty close. Well, we're still lucky. We could have barged straight into that. Well, they blocked us, but at least they didn't get us.
And we still got a chance of circling back. What? What's wrong? What is it?
I don't know. I'm not doing anything to the
motor. Here, wait a minute. Yeah, I can smell it. A bullet must have smashed open the gas tank.
We're out of petrol?
Yeah. Get it over to the side.
Right.
No farther. Clear over to the canal bank. The irrigation ditch. Go on. All right. Come on, get out. Come on, hurry.
What are we going to do?
Here, give me a hand. We're going to get it rolling. Come on. Into the ditch. All right, come on, let's go.
Where? What do you mean?
They'll be along here any second. Find where we sank the car. Come after us. We don't have much time. Now, come on, let's get across that ditch.
In the water? No. I will not do it. I will not go into the water.
Oh, you won't, huh? All right.
Put me down. Stop.
Hold your breath. Now, just take it easy. Quit fighting and relax, will you? I'll get you across. It's only 20 feet wide. All right, easy now. All right, here we go. Now grab the bank. Up you go.
Oh, it takes me all my life. I'm going to kill you.
Maybe not. I might have to kill you first. Now come on.
I am not going into that jungle with you. No matter what you do to me, I am not going.
Come on, move. Alacron had outmaneuvered me, outflanked me. There was no use trying to break south toward the capital. He had the whole area sewed up. So I decided on a gamble. I turned back, head for the last place on earth he'd look for me. The village of Monte Miguel itself. It was nearly midnight when we entered the village. I kept a tight grip on Maria's arm and hurried her through the back streets and alleys, heading toward Pepita's room on the other side of town. Though we didn't make it, a patrol of rebels came around the corner and moved toward us. We couldn't turn and run. We couldn't go on. We were trapped. But we'd stopped in front of a house built flush against the street. The door was only a few feet away. I stepped over and tried it. It was unlocked. I drew my gun and pushed the door open. All right, come on. There's no one in. Inside, quick.
What are you going to do?
Wait for the patrol to pass. Now be quiet. Here they come. Not a sound, Maria. Shh. Quiet. Oh, that was lucky. Well, double lucky, in fact. Now, the head man here has gone out and left some clothes all ready for me. Pantalones, camisa, sarape, sombrero. Now, if we can find something for you...
What do you mean?
Well, dressed like we are, we don't have a chance. Ah, here. Here, this ought to do it. Catch you. Now, here's a shawl for you. You can throw it over your head and keep it around your face.
If you think I am going to change my clothes...
Get behind that curtain and do it any way you want, but get into that dress and do it fast. In a few minutes, we were back into the marketplace, walking rapidly. And then as we passed the great doors of the church, I froze in my tracks. Alacron. He was lounging in the back of a touring car. Fat and evil. Here. This way.
Where?
Into the church. If he sees me, we're finished. Slow and solemn now. All right, up the steps. And keep your head down. Awed, half scared the way the villagers go in. All right. Up toward the front. This is far enough.
Yeah.
Now kneel down.
Right.
Well, We're safe for the moment, but I...
Padre, if you please.
Alicron.
Don't move, Maria. Don't cry out. The gun's pressed against your side.
Please.
Keep your head down and pretend you're praying. Better yet, really pray.
You are listening to Violent Night, tonight's presentation on Escape. The padre, white-haired and old, knelt at the altar and went on with his prayer, not hearing the summons from the back of the church. Some of the kneeling villagers turned to look and then turned back quickly. Beneath my serape, I kept the gun pressed tight against Maria's side.
Padre!
Alecran was walking up the aisle toward the front of the church, moving slowly and deliberately, stopping to glance along each row and study the kneeling worshippers.
You cannot come here with arms, my son. This is a place of peace.
Oh, and I am a very peaceful man, Padre, as long as I am not denied the things I want.
What is it you want?
A man. I am told they have some woman with him. They may have come in here. I will only need a moment more to finish checking your followers.
No, I cannot permit that.
Padre, you know who I am. Now, we can be friends or we can be enemies, as you choose. Of course, burning a church is not to my liking.
Go. Wait outside if you wish. I am on the point of dismissing the congregation. You may watch them as they leave.
All right. You're clever at compromise, Padre. I'm sure we will learn to understand each other. Adios.
La misa está terminada. That is all, my children. Vayan con Dios.
My son.
What is it, Padre?
This way. Follow me, both of you. Come quick.
Come on, Maria.
Yes.
In here.
You're taking a big chance, Padre. If he finds out, you're in trouble.
You have heard of sanctuary, my son? The sanctuary of the church?
Yes, of course.
Unfortunately, I cannot assure you that sanctuary, but perhaps I can help you in some small way to find your own sanctuary.
Thank you, Padre.
In a few minutes, when everyone has gone, he will be certain... Who is it?
L'Alacran.
One moment.
I am informed that you're hiding a man and woman from the congregation. Open this door.
Have patience.
Now.
Here, behind the desk, there is a way out.
All right.
Go now, both of you, quickly. The passage opens on an alleyway behind the church.
Open now.
Hurry, my children.
Thank you, Padre.
Que vayan con Dios.
When we came into the open alleyway, we were on the very edge of the village, on a crooked path that ran between the walls and backs of the buildings on one side and the dark, dense mass of the Valle Diablo jungle on the other. But for a moment, we were safe.
Barry.
What?
Back there, in the church, would you really have killed me?
Look, I'd hate to do anything to hurt you, but if I have to, I will.
Why do you hate me so
much?
Hate
you? I don't hate you. Why should I hate you? You're my ace in the hole. I've got nothing against you personally. You just picked the wrong man for a father, that's all.
Now,
wait, hold it.
Barry, don't shoot. It's only a child.
Yes, it's only a child, but he knows who we are. And he'll have the whole town out here in 2 minutes. There's no choice left. Now, come on.
Barry, what are you doing? Where are we going?
Into the jungle. Into the Valle Diablo. Yes.
I've got to rest. I can't go on much farther.
All right. All right, Maria. We'll slow down. Take it easier. I don't think he's going to find us now. I think maybe we got a chance.
Can't we stop, Barry?
No. No, in 10 minutes we wouldn't be able to move again. Now the sky's beginning to lighten. It'll be dawn in less than an hour. He can't chase us forever. He's got a revolution on his hands.
Barry, it's all been so strange. Like a nightmare. All mixed up. I hated you at first.
Oh, forget it.
I didn't know who you were, what you were doing to me. And finally, I began to understand. I don't hate you anymore, Barry.
Good, Maria. It works out better that way.
In fact, I'm afraid I like you very much.
What? Afraid?
Yes.
Maria, we'll be out of this before long, and when we... Wait.
What is it, Barry?
Those are dogs.
What?
Yeah, they're trailing us with dogs. No matter where we go now, they'll find us.
Oh, Barry!
Come on, Maria. And we ran again, down the twisting jungle trail, on and on, knowing while we ran that there was no way out, no way of escape. And then suddenly we burst out into a clearing and stopped in our tracks. For ahead of us, dark and ancient, its stones worn by tropic rains, grown over with lichen and moss, was a Mayan pyramid, built by men dead for centuries, lost and forgotten in the Valle Diablo. We broke into a run across the clearing.
We are going inside, Barry?
Oh, why not? What have we got to lose?
Nothing at all, Mr. O'Brady.
Holycrot. All right, inside, quick, Murphy.
Excellent. Right into the trap, just as I hoped.
He's behind us somewhere.
At the edge of the clearing.
Been here for some time, you know, waiting for my beaters to drive you out of the brush. Oh, always predictable, Mr. O'Grady. One knows precisely what you are going to do before you do it.
Alecron, listen to me. I've got Maria with me.
I recognize her at once.
Then listen. Before I let you take me, I'll kill her. Do you understand?
That's entirely up to you, Mr. O'Grady. First you fire at my voice and miss. Then an empty gun. Embarrassing. Isn't it, Mr. O'Grady? Now my fun begins.
Come on, Maria, back inside, quick. Well, I'm out of cartridges. All we can do now is run. Run as far and as long as we can.
And then what, Barry? You killed me, as you told him you would.
You know better. I thought the threat would hold him off, but it didn't. You heard him.
Yes, I heard him. It is not a surprise, Barry. My father has hated me for years. I did not come in handy like you hoped.
Where are you, Mr. O'Grady? Are you scared now? Running?
Maria, keep moving as quiet as possible.
Maybe you need something to help you run, Mr. O'Grady.
He's got a machine pistol. Hurry.
I cannot go so quickly.
What are you afraid of, Mr. O'Grady? You're not afraid that day at the plantation. Is this what bothers you, perhaps?
It's no use, Barry. It's no use.
Maria, wait. Look, there's a ledge right above us here. I can feel it when I reach up. Broken boulders. Now there's a chance. Now listen to me, Maria. You go on alone. Make a noise. Talk so that he'll think that we're still together. Do you understand? I'm going to wait for him here. Right up on that ledge. All right, now go on.
All right.
Go on.
But oh, be careful. Be very careful. Barry, what are we going to do?
I scrambled up on the ledge and got set. And I felt around in the dark and found a rock as big as a man's head. And then I waited.
You're tiring yourself for nothing, Mr. O'Grady. There's only one way out, you know. This way.
I raised the rock and waited. He was close now, very close. I listened to his steps, trying to judge his position by the sound.
You're not being very friendly, Mr. O'Grady, and I feel very warm for you.
He was right below me. I raised the rock and smashed it down on his head.
Barry!
It's all right, Maria. It's all over.
Barry, Barry, Barry.
Maria. Two weeks in that stinking jail, and now you drag me out and bring me down here to the harbor. Why, Captain?
This way, Senor O'Grady.
All right, so you won the revolution. Now you're the new government. All right, fine. I got nothing against you. My fight with Alecran was personal. You know that.
Quite true, Senor O'Grady. I know that. However, Alecran was one of our leaders. You killed him. The usual sentence is death by a firing squad.
I know that, Captain.
They said we are permitting you to leave the country. The launch is waiting to take you out to the ship. You should consider yourself very fortunate, Senor O'Grady.
Captain, look. There was a girl, Maria, Alecran's daughter. Where is Maria?
I believe you are speaking of my wife, Senor.
Your wife?
You are escaping a death sentence, Senor. But I must warn you that if you ever return to the Republic, that sentence will be carried out.
Your wife?
Maria and I were married yesterday at the Church of Santa Isabel. As a wedding gift to Maria, I gave her your life. Your ship is waiting, Senor O'Grady. Adios.
Under the direction of Norman McDonald, Escape has brought you Violent Night by Les Crutchfield, starring William Conrad and Joyce McCluskey. Featured in the cast were Don Diamond, Ben Wright, and Edgar Berrier, with Michael Ann Barrett, Byron Kane, and Richard Beals. Your announcer, George Walsh. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stephen.
An episode of Escape, both narrated by and starring William Conrad, one of his many roles on the various programs of CBS Radio in the 1950s, of course his most famous role of the era being that of Matt Dillon on Gunsmoke, Violent Night, as originally broadcast March 18th, 1954. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. I hope you enjoyed my selections, and thank you, as always, for your company. Join me again when you can for more sounds from the golden age of radio. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.